a combination of different goals that lead us as an international community and globalized community towards a better future for everyone.
It is a huge achievement and a huge milestone for the global community and the leaders of our nations to come together and agree on these goals.
There is no one goal that is most important, but there are 17 goals that are all equally important.
Find an issue that you're passionate about and put your energy towards it.
Inside Impact.
Der Podcast mit Wirkung. Hello and welcome back to Inside Impact, and welcome to our series Sustainability Meets Social Entrepreneurship. My name is Martin.
And I am Susan. And yes, that's right. In the next couple of episodes, Inside Impact is a podcast cooperation of the Social Entrepreneurship Center, as well as the Competence Center for Sustainability, Transformation and Responsibility here at WU Vienna.
And today we are providing you with a deep dive into sustainable development and the SDGs.
For this, we invited two wonderful guests. Viola Christian is a program officer at the Ban Ki-moon Center for Global Citizens and aims to create impactful opportunities for women and youth to thrive as global citizens. As our second guest, James Gunn joins us on behalf of SDGs Labs at WU Vienna, targeting sustainability issues, especially in the agribusiness and food production sector.
And in the next 45 minutes, we will discuss benefits, challenges, as well as milestones of the SDGs and what is needed for sustainable development in the future.
Have fun!
So, I'm sitting here with Viola Christian from the Ban Ki-moon Center for Global Citizens and with James Gunn from the SDGs Labs here at WU Vienna. First of all, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Definitely, I'm the one who's glad here to have you two here. Viola, perhaps let's start with you. From the Ban Ki-moon Center for Global Citizens, what are you doing there? And perhaps if you would like to introduce yourself very quickly here.
So yeah, I'm a program officer at the Ban Ki-moon Center, and I've been there since 2018. And so basically since the early beginnings of the center, and I've seen it grow into something very beautiful. And I'm a program officer, which means that I'm responsible of managing different projects, events, programs that have to do with the mission of the center. And my background is basically international studies, so very typical international relations, international economics and all that, and started at the Ban Ki-moon Center pretty much right after my studies, and been there ever since, and yeah, that's kind of my background.
Wonderful. You already mentioned the mission of the Ban Ki-moon Center. What is the mission? What is the center all about?
So the Ban Ki-moon Center for Global Citizens is kind of the slogan, so to say. And we focus on particularly sustainable development, particularly the sustainable development goals that were pushed by the international community in 2015 and agreed to by basically all UN member states, which is awesome. And we are the organization that was founded by the father of the SDGs, as we like to put it, Ban Ki-moon. And his legacy after being Secretary General of the UN was he wanted to push what he started and not just let it go. And so he founded this organization to foster the SDGs and action for the SDGs, especially among women and youth. So these are kind of our focus areas, the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, but also his second big landmark achievement, the Paris Climate Agreement, also initiated in 2015, which is focusing on climate action. And so lots of our work is also revolving around that topic.
So the Ban Ki-moon Center for Global Citizens targets or really wants to work with women and youth, you said. Can you explain to us a little bit where this focus comes from? What is this focus all about?
So we always like to say, or we like to kind of visualize it in some kind of way. We look at the statistics and see that half of the world's population is women. And I think I have to read my notes, but half the world is under the age of 27. And it's pretty crazy how women and youth, both groups, are very often underrepresented in decision-making environments. And while at the same time, especially youth is going to live with the outcomes of these decisions for the next generation. And looking at that, Ban Ki-moon and his friend Heinz Fischer, whom he's chairing this organization with, they thought that this is simply not the way to go. In order to have a sustainable future, which is the purpose of the SDGs, we need to include more women and youth at the decision-making tables, but also in general leadership, and strengthen their voices, which they have, but simply have others also listen. So that's kind of the reason why, simply because they're so such a huge group, but at the same time not really represented.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. Thank you for this introduction, actually.
I think so too.
I would like to switch to James for a second. Hi, James. Thank you so much for joining us once again. So basically, you're joining us on behalf of SDGs Labs here at VU Vienna. Would you mind introducing yourself, of course, but also SDG Labs, SDGs Labs? What is it actually? Is it SDG, SDGs?
Yeah, no problem. Those are good questions. And thanks for having me. So just a quick background about myself is that, you know, as you mentioned, I'm working as a researcher with the Regional Center for Expertise here at the VU. And one of the projects that I work on is the SDG Labs. I'm also a graduate students here at the VU focused on socio-ecological economics and policy. A little bit about myself. Well, I grew up in Florida, but I lived in Alaska for 10 years, as well as living in New York City. And I have a background educationally in geography and history, and a wide experience of public sector, urban planning, NGO management focused on local regional agriculture while living in Alaska, and then also working in the private sector and ecotourism in Alaska. So in addition to my experience with business-to-business interactions as well as academia, it kind of allowed me a good opportunity to come into this program, which is SDG Labs. And the main goal of SDG Labs is knowledge sharing between higher educational institutions and business. And it's about creating holistic co-creation tools to share the knowledge that is gained in academia with people who are working in the business community, and how to support entrepreneurs and startups and help their business become more sustainable, whether it's helping an existing business understand how they're already meeting certain targets and indicators that are laid out by the SDGs, or how to help new social entrepreneurs bake those SDGs into business practices that they're going to start with on day one. So it's about this knowledge sharing learning journey. And so we're this European-wide consortium spanning six partner institutions over four countries. We have partners in Portugal, Germany, Italy, as well here in Austria. And so we have numerous stakeholders in higher education and also in the business community. And we're seeing what works for them. And we're utilizing new learning techniques, such as finding role models in industry who can help busy entrepreneurs really find what works and develop best management practices. So specifically, we're focused on agriculture here in Europe. So yeah, it's a really interesting program to get involved in. And I'm, you know, happy to be here representing it.
It sounds amazing indeed. You already mentioned you're focusing on agriculture and food, basically. Would you mind explaining to us why that is the focus?
Yeah, that's a good question, because for one thing, when you look at it quantitatively, when you look at all of the different indicators and targets that are outlined through the SDGs, agriculture and food production businesses, they touch a quarter of those 169 targets. And it's a very wide scope across all the different goals. And I think what's really interesting for me personally is that food relates to every single one of us on a daily life. And it's a topic of high concern, especially when people are thinking about living a sustainable lifestyle, or if we're talking about reforming or transforming our food system. And I think one of the big things that I personally find is interesting is that there's a large potential for climate action when you look at agricultural and food production industries. So hitting those targets, reaching those indicators, I think there's a lot of return on investment, to use, you know, some business lingo, but also, you know, bang for your buck, to use a little American slang.
Wonderful. Sticking to VU language here with the business lingo. Another lingo which you just used is of high importance, of course, for all of us here, but especially, of course, for the Ban Ki-moon Center. It's sustainable development and the SDGs. Viola, would you mind explaining a little bit, what are SDGs? Of course, they are, like, I feel like they are everywhere, but
really, that's great.
Perhaps not everyone knows what they are all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it's still a growing process. We still have to make more people aware of the SDGs. But I'll gladly explain a little bit. So the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, are a combination of different goals that lead us as an international community and globalized community towards a better future for everyone. And they were kind of brought about through the General Assembly in 2015 of the United Nations. And I said before already, also agreed to by 193 member states, which is really great and pretty unique as well. And there are 17 goals, and you just mentioned, of course, one of them, like SDG 2, food security and zero hunger. But there are so many that touch everyone's lives and also every on a daily basis. And the idea of the SDGs is, so to say, that there is no one goal that is most important, but there are 17 goals that are all equally important, and all of them lead us in the direction of a better future for everyone and leaving no one behind. So that's kind of the idea that's behind it, and I find it a really good, our co-chair Heinz Fischer, he always says it's a world governmental program, and if we see it that way, it's even more important. It's something that so many different countries of so many different cultural and geographic backgrounds have agreed to, and in that sense, it's quite an achievement.
Yeah, wonderfully put, actually. Perhaps a question to both of you. Why do you think sustainable development is such a core topic, especially nowadays? Because, of course, it wasn't that way in the past all the time, but now it's kind of a growing, let's put it, movement is, of course, a little bit diffuse. But why is it so important, especially in times like these?
I think, you know, it's becoming clear to everyone, at least anyone who is able to read the news, that we're undergoing a socio-ecological crisis with the current state of affairs. And so we're looking at how to address this crisis. And I think it's really admirable that these goals have been set forth, and it is a huge achievement and a huge milestone for the global community and the leaders of our nations to come together and agree on these goals. And I think you can see that there's a lot of inequality socially and ecologically. There's a lot of degradation, both, you know, on the ground and in the ocean. And we have the issues of climate change, which are something that we're all going to face. So I think it's an admission that we as a society, we have to do better if we're going to cohabitate on this planet and leave a better future with potential for innovation in the future. So I think there's beauty in the idea of setting these sustainable development goals and saying, hey, we're going to help people. We're going to help our planet. And this is a framework for us to kind of guide us towards, you know, prosperity within planetary boundaries for you know, the foreseeable future. So it's laying the foundation.
If I may add, I absolutely agree. And because you were asking, like, why is it such a big topic nowadays? I guess it's always been, it should have always been a topic, but I think we've come to a point where we start to receive so much information through globalization, but really we see what we're confronted with. And we're always, continuously, every day confronted with the fact that we're living on limited resources and that the way we're living at the moment is not sustainable. So with this constant confrontation with living a non-sustainable life, it's kind of, you can't really go around it, but facing it. It's like always there, and with globalization, I think even more. So I think that's also a big issue, the constant information and globalization. And with that, it's just right now for us, everyone, really present.
Would you say that sustainable development is simply developing the world alongside the sustainable development goals, or are there perhaps other factors which aren't really too well put into the sustainable development goals?
I think the term that puts it quite well is global citizenship, is what we as organization also focus on. And what we think is that the SDGs can only be advanced if you have a certain mindset and some kind of personality also that you maybe have learned, but also that you have intrinsically inside of you, that you don't only think about yourself, but that you think about the everyone else as well, on behalf of them. And that's kind of the definition of being a global citizen, right? You're not necessarily a member of a certain state or nation or culture or whatever, but you're a member of the human race or like humanity. And with that mindset, you're gonna have a much, much different perception of what sustainable development is and what a better future for all means. And for example, things like empathy, compassion, and really thinking in someone else's shoes is something that is not really written in the SDGs, but I think that it's critical for the achievement of the SDGs. So things like that, like your personality matters and your mindset matters. And I think that that's a very important part of what's not really outspokenly mentioned in the SDGs.
I think I would completely agree with you there, in the sense that I would say that with sustainable development, each actor has a role to play. Whether it's citizens, as you mentioned, or institutions like the ones we're involved in, or grassroots organizations, businesses, and governments, and those sorts of actors, they all have a role to play to achieve these goals. And I think what is lacking right now is that there are knowledge gaps amongst all these actors and how they are interrelating. And I think that's what in our capacity, what my institution, what my research institution is doing, and it sounds very heavily, this is exactly what your institution is doing as well. And I think by addressing this knowledge gap, you can really try to figure out how these broad goals can be adapted into a local context, and how I think it's really important to always think, because business and private sector does play a huge role in our society, and we can't ignore that. We need to incorporate them and see how they can play a role in implementing these changes for sustainable development.
You already mentioned now, of course, that businesses play a huge role here in this framework, but also in this development, of course. Could you give any quick examples how SDG Labs tackles this? How can the SDG framework be put into practical business solutions?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're working on. Yeah. And so if I had a short answer, then we'd be done with the project. And that's the thing. It is an evolving process. And like I said, it's a learning journey. It's about creating these co-creation networks between businesses, higher education. And really, I think one of the issues or one of the challenges or opportunities is that the goals are abstract and they aren't necessarily context sensitive. So while they're well-meaning and they're really broad and far-reaching, they're hard to conceptualize and put into practice. So and moreover, a lot of companies and stakeholders aren't even aware that they exist. I think if you did a sidewalk poll at the UBON, even outside the VEU, educational institution that's heavily involved in this, you probably wouldn't have widespread awareness. So that, I think those are the issues. I mean, and I think most importantly, try to make it relatable and look at the circumstances, create contextual solutions that are apply to the settings, and then craft solutions for each situation. And so I think helping people identify with the topic, with each one of these goals, you can internalize these goals and targets. And when I say you, it's not just individuals, it's, change makers who are starting businesses that will lead us into the future, that will develop the innovations that'll help us achieve these goals. So I guess, like I said, it wasn't short, but that's just a little tidbit of what we're working on. And so what we're developing is knowledge sharing workshops and online tools, and helping people just A, become aware, B, inspire them, look at doing an audit of a company and saying, hey, you're already hitting 1/8 of your targets. Did you know that with a little shift in policy here, you could, have a huge improvement? So that's kind of what we're focused on.
Super cool. Yeah, super interesting. Thank you for that. Viola, of course, James just said SDGs are perhaps by design very broad, but what is it what makes them unique? And perhaps what are milestones which have been reached, but perhaps which would be favorable to reach in the next, I'd say, 5 to 10 years?
That's a huge question. So I think what is easier to answer is what is unique about them. And I think what the SDGs really help us with is to track success in a new and more sustainable way. And I think a big problem has been that success has been measured in terms that have not been all encompassing, that have left out either parts of the population or left out the environmental aspects, that simply put what success is usually measured in, I think. But SDGs give us some kind of framework how we can look at all of the targets and look at all of the different aspects that need to be considered if we want to be, as an international and global community, if we want to be successful and if we want to sustain the lives of the next generations. And I think that's quite unique. And I think that especially using it as a tool to really track success and to monitor how you're doing and if you're doing well, I think it's a pretty great thing to have. And I'm thinking about, for example, when it comes to milestones, it's very difficult for me to really point at something and say, hey, that was a milestone, because I think it really depends on your context. I think every country, every culture, in every kind of environment, you will have different milestones, and they might be more important in this context than in that context. So it's very difficult for me to say. But I think... If we look at the developments of the things that are developed through the SDGs, for example, certain indices, like the Bertelsmann Index, for example, there is this cool institute, Bertelsmann Stiftung. Every year they publish a SDG index to see how each country is doing. Of course, it's not the solution to everything, and there are aspects of this index that are not ideal, but it's simply a method how finally we have something to track success well. And I think that is a pretty cool achievement. And I think it will be developed as far as we go. And I think there's much room for improvement, but I think it gives us this basis and a good basis from where we can simply improve and get better and look at more successes and achievements in the years to come. And I mean, it's difficult to say where I would wish to have like the main success in the next 5 to 10 years, because it's, like I said before, it's difficult to decide which SDG, but there's room. I'm looking forward to the developments of this decade of action that we now have until 2030 and see how far we will go.
I mean, if I was just going to have anything to add, I think I 100% agree with you there, Viola. And in the sense that what the SDGs milestone, the main milestone, and you alluded to this earlier, was the establishment of the SDGs in the first place. And by setting these ambitious goals and looking at the targets and looking at the indicators, it was one of the first times, I'd say the first time, we holistically looked at the complex, global, interlinked challenges that we're facing as a planet and everybody on this planet. And I think, again, it in itself, it is a bit of this multi-criteria analysis tool, which is, you know, a really amazing way for us to kind of solve the problem, is to break it down into smaller pieces. And I think the Goal 17 partnership, that in itself, I would say the emerging partnerships that have come forth in the last 6 years since the SDGs were established. I mean, that in itself, having us all in a room talking about something, the same thing, I think that's a milestone.
Yeah, so you said partnerships, of course, being a big part here, perhaps as a milestone that SDGs enable them or lead partners towards a common goal. But then again, I feel like SDGs are, of course, a great communication tool, and critical voices would say it could also be used, unfortunately, for, let's call it, color washing or greenwashing. Like, if you're an organization, a business, I'll just say, hey, I'll contribute to these SDGs without explaining it further. Do you think this is a real threat to the whole SDGs framework?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for us to consider that critical perspective. Just like any lofty goal or any social movement, there is the potential for, you know, different actors or strong actors to dilute or reorient or co-opt these goals for the purposes that are kind of away from the original intent. So I think that's always a challenge you need to consider and be wary of. And greenwashing, we can't be naive, it's present. And I think it's important for us to consider there are some lacking aspects that are not entirely covered with the SDGs. There is a strong advocacy towards economic development, which I think is extremely important in certain capacities. But at the same time, it is also pretty heavily focused on kind of green growth in that regard and technological solutions to things that, you know, some people could say are more societal problems. By trying to decarbonize our economy, it's not really addressing some of the root causes of the socio-ecological crisis in regards to resource and energy consumption. So if you're going to address climate change, which is one of the, you know, 17 goals, you do need to take a hard look at the drivers of climate change and at the actors and be honest and truthful, and that green growth will help us, you know, get cleaner, will help us decarbonize, reduce our footprint. It's not going to be the silver bullet solution for us.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think that, of course, that's one side with the greenwashing and using it for purposes that it's not meant to be used for. But at the same time, we as individuals, we as people who really care about sustainable development, do have a tool now that we can use to hold organizations, institutions, businesses accountable for what they're actually doing. And if we see that they're using the SDGs just to kind of spotlight themselves and it's not really authentic, then we can use the SDGs to confront them with the fact that this is not the way to go, and that there are other ways that they could do their sustainability missions more all-encompassing and more sustainably. So in the end, it's on us to use the SDGs and take advantage of them. And really, I think we've seen from the movements from the past years how finally we have this incredible grassroots movement on climate action coming from the youth and using what's out there to legitimize their efforts. And that's awesome. And that's finally something that they can base their opinions on. And of course, it's unfortunate that this hasn't been the case before. But isn't it with everything like that, that you need a certain tool to finally, you know, to speak out, because you feel more confidence then? And I think that that's what the SDGs are there for.
So, of course, we now talked about, of course, benefits, many, many, many benefits, but of course, also challenges of the SDGs. Are there any other major challenges which come to your mind at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of carry on from what we were just talking about and what Viola was just mentioning is that the accountability aspect and the lack of clear implementation pathways, those are huge challenges. But I'm again, you know, from the perspective of challenges are opportunities. And in that regard, this, you know, there is kind of this perceived lack of support and actual policy shifts right now from a governmental level, and that would allow for the achievement of these goals. But as you just mentioned, with the lack of action from the top down, there is now this groundswell of direct action from the bottom up that is demanding change. And so I think there is, again, the challenge of lack of an implementation pathways and these sorts of things being very broad. Well, yeah, but we're seeing now this opportunity for new innovative movements to come in and fill that gap and raise awareness. So I think there's challenges, but hey, those are opportunities to people who can think outside the box and can be able to seize that moment.
Yeah. And I think a big challenge is also the fact that it's not a legal framework, that it's not really something that can be used to really, by law, hold countries accountable. And it's pretty obvious that that's going to be a challenge if you don't have that kind of power, that there will be countries who take it more seriously and some that don't, and even not just countries, but you know, institutions, individuals, and so on. If that weren't the case, then we would be much further now. But I guess that's just a next step, maybe.
Yeah, I think in a way it does kind of show the limitations to the top-down approach in achieving these SDGs, because there is no accountability framework. It's not a binding agreement. It doesn't force anyone's hand. It does require a certain good faith from the actors, from the companies, from the governments. So that's where there are limitations from the top-down approach, which is, again, where the bottom-up can come in and agitate in some ways for change.
Talking about change, perhaps pretty broadly asked here, what would you personally advocate to our listeners, to young listeners, not so young listeners, of our podcast when it comes to sustainable development? Are there any things they can do?
Yeah, I think whenever you're looking at these challenges that we're facing, the crisis that we're all embroiled in, you really need to do a little soul searching, and you need to find whatever social or ecological issue that you're passionate about, because you know you can throw an arrow in any direction and you're going to hit one, but find the one that you're really passionate about and then find a way to collaborate and use your energy and strength and knowledge to share that knowledge and take action to make the SDGs realities. And again, bottom-up approaches, I keep harping this, but you know they seem to be really well-suited for achieving the SDGs, especially on a small individual community level. But then these small community organizations and movements can then metastasize very quickly and become larger global movements, as we saw with Fridays for the Future and whatnot. So yeah, just find an issue that you're passionate about and put your energy towards it.
Perfectly said. That's exactly what we as the Ban Ki-moon Center are trying to promote as well. So really the trying to think in small steps towards the bigger goal. And in almost every of our programs, we try to really instill this mindset in our beneficiaries, like who are youth and young women, young men, who are kind of you know, who have this change maker mindset. We try to communicate that it's not about the big, big, big project that you have to implement, but it's about these SDG micro projects, as we call them, that already work towards a bigger goal, and that it's really about you and your passion, like you just said, to make something really great and turn something small into something big and really touch lives, not by, you know, becoming a politician. I mean, maybe, yeah. But if you want to start small, then you can already do something on that level. And we've seen so many cool projects evolve from that kind of attitude. We had, for example, if I can just mention a few, we had a fellow of the Ban Ki-moon Center who did a video series. She started basically a video or vlog podcast series on reproductive health, and did a whole series on that, and got supported by a governmental institution for that. And basically, she used her network and her passion about vlogging for something great and something really meaningful. And for example, regarding podcasts, we had a couple of fellows who started their own SDG podcast series, Sustainable Saturdays. And so we kind of gave them the little kick that they might have needed to start something and to collaborate and to you know, with limited resources, make something cool and work for the SDGs and show everyone that it's not that hard to work for the SDGs.
Talking about change makers and passion, these are definitely two attributes which fit to both of you here. Are there specific SDGs you both are passionate about?
Yeah, for sure. For me, you know, like as I mentioned, SDGs touch every aspect of your life, but I'm a passionate person about underwater environments, having grown up in Florida and having spent a lot of time on coral reefs. And so I've worked on various coral reef and coastal restoration projects, both in Florida and also in the Global South in Indonesia and Honduras and other places as well. And it's ironic, or it's not ironic, that I ended up here in SDG Labs and we're focusing on agriculture, because for me, agriculture, local agriculture, regional food security, food production is something that is so important, and especially relocalizing and re-seasonalizing our intake of food. So I've, over the years, volunteered with various food production, local food production organizations, whether it was in New York City or whether it was in Alaska with community gardens and fruiting forests, or here in Vienna, I'm looking for opportunities as well. So, yeah.
I think the one that I've always been kind of passionate about is gender equality, SDG 5. Somehow all my bachelor thesis or master thesis, they all had to do with women's empowerment and gender equality. But of course, I think as a Black woman, I would also say that the SDG 10, reduced equality, like the nexus of those SDGs is super important to me, mm-hmm. of course, on a personal basis. But I think with seeing so many people affected, like half of the world's population, makes me really think that it's not just me, but it's really a huge part of the world's population that is affected. And especially when it comes to discrimination on behalf of race, on behalf of gender, I feel very strongly about changing that and trying to make a difference.
Wonderful, yeah. Perhaps as a penultimate question already, we like to ask our guests for book recommendations, actually. Is there a specific book you would like to recommend? Doesn't have to be in the context of SDGs.
I don't have a lot of time for pleasure reading due to my job and studies and whatnot, but I did just recently finish a book by an author named James Nestor, and it's called Breath, New Science for a Lost Art. And it's light pop science, nonfiction, little autobiographical, and it's about breathing and how impactful breathing is on our health and well-being, both physically and mentally. And the main takeaway is really we need to think about how we breathe, because there's huge impacts on our existence and just mental state if you can try to relearn how to breathe properly. It's short, you know, it's maybe like 200 pages. It's right, nice and easy, perfect for the U-Bahn or the S-Bahn, 20 minutes oh, nice. Here and there. It's good for the Straßenbahn as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mine is unfortunately not such an easy read. I've been trying to finish it, but it's so amazing. So I do want to recommend it. It's called Invisible Women. And I think Caroline Nunez, I'm not sure of the author right now, but it's basically a collection of statistics and numbers on how women are not considered strongly when it comes to, for example, building up a city, or, you know, when it comes to metro stations, or how the woman's perspective is really excluded from things that we should care about and that really are present to every one of us. And it's not an easy read. Like I said, it has a lot of numbers, but I think eventually, once I'm done with it, it will help me also, because I always find myself in discussions with people who are against or who say there is gender equality. What are you talking about? And this book is the tool to finally conquer these kind of discussions and be like, hey, look at this and that and this and that, and be like, yeah, I made it and I convinced. And so this is kind of a good tool to turn around opinions on that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Viola. So two very eye-opening, very inspiring recommendations here. Honestly, there's just one more question left, which always kind of marks an end of an interview here. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners? Anything you would like to communicate? Anything you would like to get out there?
So if you're interested in small initiatives, if you want to get inspired by really a big group of young, interesting individuals, you should definitely check out our website, BanKiMoonCenter.org. And under our SDG micro projects, we have a lot of different SDG micro projects listed that give you insights into how easy it is to make change. And if you want to get inspired, then I think that would be a good thing to look at.
Yeah. Just closing, I'd like to say thank you for having me on board. And feel free to check out our website at sdgs-labs.eu. And you're going to see the progress of how the project, which has been ongoing for 3 years with all the partners across Europe, how it's progressing as we come to a close. And we're going to start to have online tools available, as well as a manual for workshop facilitators to help bring this knowledge sharing, co-creation together and bring it into light. So feel free to check out that website, sdgs-labs.eu.
Wonderful. I think we got that one. Awesome. Well, Viola, James, thank you so much. It was a very pleasurable and a wonderful discussion. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Once again, thank you to Viola and James for joining us. Of course, you can find book recommendations and links to mentioned sources in the description of this episode.
And of course, we're already looking forward to the next episode, where we will touch upon the role of social entrepreneurship within sustainable development with our guests. Social entrepreneurs Theresa Imre from the digital marketplace Magda and Martin Vesian from Helios discuss their approaches to sustainability and how to found a sustainable business.
Until then, take a look at our Instagram channel, InsideImpact_, or if you want to get in touch with us, you can also send us an email to insideimpact@vu.ac.at. And if you like Inside Impact, feel free to give us a review on your favorite podcast platform and tell your friends about it. See you next week, and all the best from the Inside Impact team.
Thank you for listening, and see you soon.